Welcome to the Drive Time Show on Toledo Sports Leader, 106.5 The Ticket.
Miguel swings it to fly ball, right field, way back and right. Garcia to the fence, looking up, and it's gone, a home run.
Wow.
Miguel Cabrera with a two-run shot to right is 24th, his fifth home run in the last week. The Tigers hit it.
This 106.5 The Ticket Sports Exclusive is driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik Jr. at the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore.
Matthews got his throws. He's got Golden Tate who makes the catch inside the 15, inside the 10, and he's breaking away. He's into the end zone. Pack the bags. Start the plane. This game is over. Oh, baby, how big is that?
Get ready. It's now drive time.
Sweeping left side, 10-5. Touchdown, Curtis Samuel. And the Buckeyes win it in overtime. A game that they trailed by 10 points to give Ohio State a 30-27 victory over the University of Michigan.
Here's the host of Drive Time.
Now Gretzky's got a breakaway. He's in all alone. He shoots it. Score. Curry blocked the shot. Then Gretzky in. 3-0. Los Angeles. Wayne Gretzky gets the goal.
Mike Miller is out there watching.
On its way. Here's Chris DeMarco to win it. He wins it. DeMarco. 15 feet, 4 inches. Center of cup. President's Cup to the United States.
Everybody, how are you? Another edition of Drive Time, followed by Face Off, the hockey show on Wednesday nights. Of course, we come to you from Savannah, Tam O'Shanter, and the Loaf Restaurant. Of course, as always, Drive Time presented by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik. Visit MonroeSuperstore.com. Coming up tonight at 5:15, Kyle Rowland will join us. Third consecutive night from Italy, where the University of Michigan Wolverines are on a little bit of a bonding trip with their teammates, and they will be practicing there as well. But tonight with Kyle, also want to talk about some of the University of Michigan players that will be drafted in the National Football League draft. I got a list here about 8 or 9 guys, and I want to get his thoughts on that as well. So Kyle Rowland joins us at 5:15 tonight. Matt Markey at 5:35, the Toledo Blade outdoor editor. 6:05 tonight on Face Off, the hockey show, year number 19. We're going to take a look at round 2 of the National Hockey League playoffs. Of course, Nashville and St. Louis going at it tonight, along with Edmonton and Anaheim. Rangers and Pittsburgh and Ottawa and Washington get underway tomorrow night. Plus, I want to get a bit of an update here, too, on all the coaching changes and the folks that have been fired in the NHL, and if he's heard anything on the National Hockey League's coaching search situation. For the teams that have not named anybody, of course, Ken Hitchcock are returning to Dallas, John Stevens, L.A. Kings. Walleye last night, they win it in Game 7 by a score of 3-1. Congratulations to those guys. Tight hockey game until about midway through period number 3. Great crowd last night, of course, down at the Huntington Center. Walleye win it 3-1. They'll take on the Fort Wayne Comets Friday night in Game 1 from the Huntington Center. Jeff Lurk, Walleye netminder, who was called into action last night. Starter Jake Patterson went down with a high ankle sprain, and he was replaced. Tough thing. Jeff Lurk on the bench. He was called in, and as the backup goaltender last night, came in and did a great job. So Jeff Lurk will join us tonight at 6:30 on the Face Off, the hockey show. Rolling from Italy, Matt Markey and a lot of things, including the Walleye run. Aaron Portsline, National Hockey League Round 2 playoffs underway, and Walleye goaltender Jeff Lurg. That is at 6:30 tonight. As always, this show brought to you by our good friends at the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore and the Low Payment King. Face Off, the hockey show presented by Savannah Tam O'Shanter. Just a couple of other notes here before I get into our Reeb Funeral Home Detroit Tiger report. ESPN, of course, is now a ESPN a network station. We were on ESPN for a long, long time. Went to the CBS radio network. That did not go over well. Right back to ESPN. They announced today that in a lot of names you'd recognize, 70 to 100 employees laid off at ESPN. And listen, anybody, regardless of the situation, you hate to see anybody lose their job. But I have to tell you, some of the decisions that were made over the years, you have to scratch your head. Listen, I'm old enough to remember when ESPN first came on the air. Chris Berman was, you know, just starting out from Bristol and some of the stories. And Dan Patrick going back, a good viewing tomorrow will be Dan Patrick on his morning simulcast, his radio and television show. He'll have a lot to say about that, believe me. So, ESPN laying off 70 to 100 people. And, again, it will not affect the programming that we have right here on ESPN 106.5. The ticket, it will be business as normal ESPN programming, the extravaganza with Bob France and myself, and all the great things that Jim Cushland, of course, does with, you know, the National Hockey League broadcast, with the NBA broadcast, NFL football. We still have the Lions. We have the Buckeyes. We have the Wolverines. So Toledo Sports Leader basically will be unscathed in this purging of salaries with ESPN out of Bristol today. I'm sure we're going to hear much more of that as the week moves on. All right, the Tigers last night, by the way, in this Detroit Tiger report, they score 19 runs in that game last night. They had 24 hits. They beat the Mariners 19-9. Now, the story for me coming out of that, we talk about the Tigers getting 24 hits last night. The Seattle Mariners had a total of 16. So Detroit's pitching still not up to snuff in this situation. They got to get better. Tigers really struggling in a lot of areas. They win. They're in first place. Hats off to, and listen, I give this guy a lot of guff, Brad Ausmus. This is a team that has lost four starters to injury. Cabrera, Iglesias, Jacoby Jones, J.D. Martinez, and a bullpen that's completely shot. And the Tigers are in first place in the Central Division, a one-game lead over the Cleveland Indians. So hats off for pulling it together. Guys like Adusi and Hicks have come in and done a wonderful, wonderful job. Kinsler had last night had four hits and scored four runs. But the Tigers, a big win last night. But the pitching with Zimmerman, still not good. Six innings, he gave up five runs. Jimenez came in, he gave up two runs as well. Tigers win, move their record to 11-8. Pitching still brutal, bullpen in trouble. Hats off to the replacement players and the staff for holding it together. Seattle in town tonight. The Detroit Tigers will be sending Daniel Norris to the mound. He's 1-1. Paxton on the mound for Seattle. Indians, by the way, who the Tigers lead by one game, they're at home tonight against Houston. So that's the Detroit Tiger Report brought to you by Reeb Funeral Home. Right around the corner from Italy, Kyle Rowland. This is Drive Time, and it's driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik.
Talking local sports, it's Drive Time on Toledo's Sports Leader, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
Everybody, welcome back. Sylvania Tam-O-Shanter, Loft Restaurant, high above the TAS Electronics, rink number one. Today is April the 26th, and this is show 1,379, and we fired 436 different guests to this show and to our airways. Glad to have you on board on a day that ESPN, again, laid off 70 to 100 employees. You know, maybe more on that as the evening moves on. Face Off, the hockey show coming up, 6:05 tonight. Aaron Portsline, Columbus Dispatch, National Hockey League columnist. 6:30 tonight, Jeff Lurg, Toledo Walleye netminder who came in off the bench last night in a relief role when Jake Patterson went down with a high ankle sprain. Jeff Lurg, who played his college hockey at MSU, will join us again at 6:30 tonight. Markey around the corner. We'll get a report on the Walleye run, our normal Wednesday conversation with Mr. Matt Markey. Joining us now from Rome, from Italy, we've done it all week. It's presented by, of course, the low-payment king, Ralph Mahalik, and on the Vito's Pizza phone line, Vito's Pizza. Ingredients you can trust. Order by phone at any of the 20 Northwest Ohio, Southeast Michigan locations by phone or visit Vito's.com this week. Man, that knows a lot about pizza, by the way, on the other end of the phone line. But at Vito's here in Toledo this week, the giant one-topper, $9. Hello, Kyle. How are you?
I'm doing great, Mike. How's everything back home?
Very, very good. We miss you. But thanks. So, you know, we get to hear your voice once a day. Anyways, and thanks for calling in, and thanks for being on top of and timely and all that kind of stuff. It's appreciated here on Drive Time. Hey, before we talk about Rome and before we talk about the Wolverines, I want to talk a little bit about last year's edition of the Wolverines and the likes. I wrote down nine names here off the top of my head. I did not even Google it or go to a website, but I have nine names written down here. And I don't want you to spend too much time in this and break this down like a Mel Kiper situation. I don't know if he dodged a bullet today or not. I'm guessing he did. But just give me your thoughts about where you think a player that I name will go, and tell me his attributes in a very short thumbnail sketch. Kyle Rowland, you covered this team last year. Talked about him a little bit yesterday. Jabril Peppers.
I think he would have been a first-round pick. I don't know if the diluted sample thing will change that. Before that, I think he still would have been a first-round pick, despite his polarization and all that, and just a jack of all trades. I mean, that's what comes to mind when you think of Jabril Peppers.
How about Jake Butt, the tight end?
That's another guy who, if he wouldn't have been injured, definitely, I think, maybe, you know, first, second round. Probably, I'll say third round, just so athletic and versatile. The tight end position continues to be more and more important in the NFL, and I think Jake Butt's a guy who can contribute to any team in the league.
Jordan Lewis.
First round, second round, I mean, around there. Obviously, he had his off-the-field issue, though, too, which is probably going to hamper his draft status. Everyone you're naming, I guess, has some kind of wild cards to him. But Jordan Lewis, lockdown defender. The Orange Bowl may have hurt him a little bit, though. Florida State went after him a lot, and they abused him.
How about Chris Wormley, Whitmer High School? And I know my listeners get sick of hearing this. I'm a Whitmer graduate. I'm not going to tell you the year, but Chris Wormley out of Toledo, Whitmer.
I'll say third round, and when I think of Chris Wormley, I think gentle giant, very nice guy, but that shouldn't be confused for someone who can't get after it on the football field. He's a great player, and I think he's going to have a career in the NFL.
How about Chesson and Darbo?
Two pretty good pass catchers. I think Darbo is a very underrated guy. They're going to go in the middle rounds, and I think Darbo is going to be someone who surprises people and ends up being a big steal in this draft.
Taco Charlton.
Really good. He'll be the first Michigan guy off the board, I think. First round pick for sure. Defensive end, valued position, obviously, in the NFL. Guy whose stock has just gone soaring. He's just so quick off the line and around the edge. And he's someone who has all the tools to be, you know, a longtime player in the league and, you know, a guy who could make some all pro teams.
How about Ryan Glasgow and Mason Cole before we move on to activities in Rome?
Yeah, for both of them, I would say the word that comes to mind is just smart. They're football players. They're kind of those Midwestern Big Ten guys you would think of. And I think both of them will get drafted.
How much National Football League draft coverage do you think there'll be in Rome tomorrow?
That is a great, interesting question. I'm going to guess zero, but we'll see. I tell you, it's been really interesting over here. It's obviously been fun, and people don't want to hear me complain, and I'm not going to complain. But the days have been very long. I mean, they're 18-hour days. I'm getting up very early in the morning, going to bed at like 1, 2 in the morning. So I am completely out of the loop on everything, and it's really interesting. I know nothing that's going on in the NBA, NHL playoffs. Don't have a clue what's going on in baseball. So I imagine it'll probably be the same tomorrow night, and I won't know what's going on in the NFL draft.
Well, I've been overseas a number of times, and of course, mostly, and you know, and we share a love for golf, and you know, Ireland is a place and other venues that I've gone with a group of my buddies and played over the years as well. And, you know, you're right. Even if you're not working, and we weren't working, we were working on our games and working on the cold adult beverages and the drafting for the next day on most of my trips. But you do lose track of things. And that's not even when you're banging away on a laptop trying to get some work done. So I entirely get that. Paintball yesterday was your story, of course. And I really enjoyed the story on the itinerary. You know, we take for granted something like this with 150 people traveling over there. You just go, you know, hop on the plane, fly over, and get off, and here we are. A lot of work put in by a number of people.
Yeah. I mean, the most interesting thing, I think, is the people they spoke to. I mean, you're talking about the U.S. State Department, the U.S. Embassy in Rome, the Italian Embassy in Washington, diplomats in Italy, Italian diplomats in Italy as well. So I think that part of it's really interesting. But this was just an all hand on deck effort. Rick Schaefer, the guy who organized the Baltimore Orioles Cuban national team game, which I'm sure a lot of people remember in the 1990s, is the one who planned this trip. This was much easier. It took 7 months, whereas that baseball game took 4 years to plan. And there were a lot of other people on the ground too. In Italy, there were some people. All the Michigan staffers that are over here, they're not just doing their normal jobs that they would be doing on bowl games. They're doing a lot of other hats. I mean, they're wearing like 10 hats over here. So it really was just a monumental effort. And they've pulled it off spectacularly. I mean, the players are having fun. Everything's organized well. It's running on time. You know, there really haven't been any hiccups. So it's very, very impressive to see it happen when you consider, you know, yeah, it's been 7 months, but a lot of those people haven't been working on it for 7 months because of the football season. Exactly. I mean, they kind of had to put everything on hold in the middle of the year. So
yeah. I got a little bit of a delay there. My apologies, not at your end. I had a little bit of a delay there, so I wasn't meaning to step all over you there. Hey, will your work days at all slow down once the team gets on the field and starts to practice?
They will, and that all starts tomorrow. I guess you could say the fun and games kind of ended tonight. Team went to the Vatican today, had a really memorable experience. Jim Harbaugh got to shake the Pope's hand, handed him a winged helmet and a pair of Jordans, size 11, if you're wondering. And then tonight they went to an upscale, nice restaurant and had a cooking lesson, which was pretty entertaining to watch. Jim Harbaugh's down there, you know, rolling the dough and tossing pepperonis on the pizza and everything. But tomorrow at 11 a.m. sharp, that would be, I think, 5 a.m. Michigan and Ohio time, they'll be on the practice field. So it all starts tomorrow, the football does.
You know what? This whole thing, and the more I read, and, of course, you know, you're part of our coverage all week from there. Kyle Rowland joins us on the Vito's Pizza phone line. Ingredients you can trust, of course, Vito's Pizza. And, you know, I've had people tell me they think this is a little bit of a, you know, for the lack of a better term, and I'm not trying to be vicious here, a bit of a clown show with Harbaugh and this and that. You know, I've reminded people this, too, and I've been around a lot of coaches. I mean, coaches that have won Stanley Cups. Everybody has their different style, and I think a young group of guys watching, you know, their coach and handing the Pope, you know, the Michigan helmet and getting involved in rolling dough and so on and so forth. You know what? I think that's a good positive thing. But they know what's coming too. He's a no nonsense guy that likes to have a little fun. So that's a combination there. I still think he's got to win some more games. I understand they're off to a good start. I think there's a little bit too much fanfare for what they accomplished. Of course, Kyle, as you know, this is coming from an Ohio State guy, by the way. But that's an observation, and I find it a healthy thing. I've seen every different style of coaching, every different type of person. I've been around coaches that don't even pay any attention to their players. Here's the films. Here's the X and O's. You better go do it, or the next guy's in. You know, I've been around coaches, for crying out loud, that don't want to eat at the team's meals. I know other ones that sit right down in the middle of their guys. So there's different ways of doing this.
No, absolutely. I mean, you couldn't have said it any better. I mean, there's all kinds of different styles. Everyone kind of finds their way to do it. And a lot of coaches adjust. I mean, I think there's a lot of similarities with Jim Harbaugh and Urban Meyer. They both good their, you know, dream jobs and go to these universities they've loved for their whole life. And they came to them after an instance where they kind of burn out and were just too intense almost. And I think both of them have dialed it back. Obviously, Urban Meyer has had just insane amount of success at Ohio State. I think it's kind of on the same path in Michigan, not quite as high a level, but they're so much better than they've been. And I think they kind of found that balance that maybe wasn't there before, the off-the-field balance. But his players definitely like him. They kind of know the deal. They know his quirks and all the things that come with playing in Michigan. But certainly this trip, I think it worked out perfectly, quite honestly, the timing of it. They've all talked about the team bonding basically from the get-go, even on the first day. And we have all these new starters and all these young guys. I mean, what better time to do something like this than right now?
You know what, Kyle? And I have spent a lifetime, 40 years in a sport, that the word chemistry and bonding, and I've seen coaches over the years when I was with the Devils. We played the Florida Panthers or played the Tampa Bay Lightning, say on a Wednesday and a Friday. You know, Lou Lamoriello and Jock LeMaire used to hop on the charter. We'd hop on there Monday morning at 8 o'clock and say, you know what, we're going to practice at 11. You guys do what you want. Everybody back in the rooms at midnight. Then Tuesday they might say, you know what, you guys went your separate ways yesterday. Today we're going to have two or three team activities. And they always did it early in the year, too. So, guys, as you just pointed out and you pointed out in your articles, got to know each other a little bit and you understand who the other guy is. So I buy that. I saw it and have seen it in hockey too many times. So we're going to talk a little gridiron stuff tomorrow. We'll talk to you at 5:35. And for our listeners tomorrow, that's 11:35 Rome time. Thanks for coming on, Kyle. We appreciate it.
Always enjoy it, Mike. Thanks a lot.
That's Kyle Rowland coming to us from Rome or the University of Michigan Wolverines. Hit the practice field tomorrow. Hung around with the Pope today. How do you like that? They've seen the Colosseum. It's been an amazing, amazing trip. How about Harbaugh? Just handing the Pope some University of Michigan bling, I'll put it that way. All right, everybody. TASS Electron. That was Kyle Rowland, by the way, in the Vito's Pizza phone line. Ingredients you can trust. TASS Electronics update. A little weather and a little sports right around the corner. How about this? 4-star window tint professionally installed. Your vehicle, wow, $148. Lowest price ever. Window tint. 4-star window tint professionally installed. $149. That's all your windows. Go see them today. Go say hi to Al Papier at TASS. Say look out at the TASS Electronics rink number one. Back with Matt Markey after this.
Annoying traffic jams. It's the Drive Time Show on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's your host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody. Welcome back. Savannah Tamashaner, Loft Restaurant. Face Off the Hockey Show follows tonight at 6:05, by the way. Aaron Portsline, Columbus Dispatch, NHL columnist, will join us. Round two of the National Hockey League's playoffs get underway tonight. Jeff Lurk, a goaltender that played his college hockey at MSU, was in the backup role last night. Game 7, the Walleye taking on the Kalamazoo Wings last night. Jake Patterson, the starter, went down, high ankle sprain, and Jeff Lurg came in and finished the job. Walleye win it 3-1. They advance against Fort Wayne. Jeff Lurg, Walleye netminder tonight at 6:30. My name is Mike Miller. Our first guest tonight, Kyle Rowland, joined us from Rome with the University of Michigan Wolverines. Our practicing starting tomorrow. It's been kind of a bonding trip up until then. Joining us now, like he does every Wednesday night, Matt Markey. He is the Toledo Blade outdoor editor. Matt's appearance is always brought to you by Jan's Netcraft Fishing Tackle, where fishing is their passion. Expert advice is always free. Visit Netcraft on Briarfield Boulevard in Maumee for everything you need for bass, walleye, and anything else that swims. It's Wednesday. It's Miller. It's Markey. Hello, Matt. How are you? Hello, Matt. How are you? I believe we might be having a little bit of a technical situation here with Matt Markey, Toledo Blade outdoor editor. Matt, you there?
I'm here now. Thanks, Mike.
Well, very good. How are you, number one? And as I mentioned, your appearance is always brought to you by Jan's Netcraft. Thanks for taking the time. Matt, of course, is the Toledo Blade outdoor editor. I guess first things first, Mr. Markey, a little bit of an update on the walleye run.
Well, the walleye run is tapering down on the Maumee and even more so on the Sandusky River. It's we're kind of in that transition phase right now where the walleye start to move out. The females have spawned, and they're mostly back in the lake at this point. There are some male walleye still in the river, but primarily we're seeing fresh runs of white bass come in. The two overlap, so there's a short period here where you can catch a mixed stringer with both species, but definitely, you know, on the downturn for the with the numbers of walleye in the river, and certainly a big upturn in the number of white bass in the river. So there's still some fish there to be caught if you're a walleye fisherman, but I think, you know, the hours are kind of winding down here as they do every year about this time.
And tell me about, the early reports when you and I chatted last week, the folks involved, the type of year that this was, 2017, and what's been, a huge part of this region, for a long, long time. How would you rate this year's walleye run on fish caught, guys having fun, number of fishermen, and so on and so forth?
I think it was a good year. The weather was pretty much cooperative. We had more wind than usual, but not nearly as much high water as we would usually encounter. And I saw good numbers of fish. The catch was 90 to 95% male walleye, which isn't unusual at all. That's usually the way it breaks down. And a lot of fish in the two-year-old class, which, just kind of barely made the 15-inch minimum for keeper size, but that's a sign of the health of the overall fishery. When you have that many young fish, in the river during the spawning run, that tells us that the coming years should really be a bonanza. So I think it was a good year actually on both rivers. Started a little bit earlier than usual due to the, mild winter that we had, the lack of ice that we had. Things started a little bit early. And, we had a decent number of fishable days a few times when the water was high and the anglers kind of got pushed back to the shore and couldn't wade out across Bluegrass Island like they like to do. But I'd say overall it was a good year, and certainly, saw plenty of fish come out of the river.
Again, talking to Matt Markey, Toledo Blade Outdoor Editor. He joins us on the Vito's Pizza phone line. Vito's Pizza, ingredients you can trust. Go to Vito's.com this week. Giant five topper for $14. Matt's appearance brought to you by Jan's Netcraft as well. You just mentioned the health of what's going on here in Lake Erie, the Maumee Bay, and the Maumee River, and good things to come, a good fishing forecast. Not the case up in Lake St. Clair with a virus. VHS is the initials for that virus. Tell me a little bit about that. Then I started reading your story here a little bit, and this is not something that is new. In fact, it's really affected different species of fish over the years and different lakes as well. But right now, it's wreaking havoc in Lake St. Clair.
It is. It's one of those quirky things where the conditions have to be fairly ideal for this virus to proliferate. And it's usually when we, after, the thaw, where we get a fairly sustained period where the water doesn't warm up in a hurry, then you have conditions, because this is kind of a cold water virus, and it's also most likely something that was brought into the Great Lakes from afar, either in, bilge water or, some other means that came from someplace else, and now we have these sporadic outbreaks. And there have been outbreaks in Lake Ontario and Lake Huron, Lake Erie, certainly in Lake St. Clair most recently, and the shad are one of the more susceptible species. They're also a species that a lot of times will have a fairly large die-off in the spring. When we go from the lake being frozen to the water warming up, they seem to take that transition a little more difficultly than some of the other species. So right now, it's not at crisis level because most of the fish that we're seeing in this fish kill are shad. They're not a species, a game fish, certainly, and it's primarily a food fish for some of the other predators out there when they're smaller. But it's also something that the biologists want to keep an eye on because there have been cases where it's affected muskies and largemouth bass and some of the, certainly the top sport fish in those lakes and all. And Lake St. Clair is a tremendous fishery. It's like a big, shallow wash tub out there, very warm water, very rich in nutrients, so prolific growth of fish and tremendous, spawning reproduction in that lake. But with that, come some other things, and one of those is it can sometimes be a very good incubator for some of these certain viruses and all, and that's what we're dealing with here. So hopefully this warmth that we've had yesterday, today, and going forward, and we get a warm rain, that'll warm the water up enough so it's not the optimum temperature for this particular virus to proliferate. So we're watching it closely.
And untreated ballast water, they think, might be a contributing factor or the origin of this. Hey, speaking of, species and a little bit of a controversial you know, situation here on these hatcheries, which you kind of laid to rest right here about, you know, getting the walleye eggs and transplanting those and the method that is used to, you know, retrieve them, and people up in arms about, you know, the method and why is it being done and how many fish are affected. Tell me about that out of St. Mary's, Ohio. Again, it's a hatchery, and what they're doing is harvesting the eggs of walleye and basically trying to, you know, help other species and move forward with the whole production with a little help from the human hand.
Yeah, it is. We had a number of calls and a couple letters, you know, people, you know, really up in arms and concerned that, you know, what was going on after dark down the Maumee River with the Division of Wildlife was destroying the fishery and so on. And I felt like it was worth taking the time to dive into the science of this and explain that when they go down there and harvest these eggs from those female walleye, it's such a minuscule part of the overall population in the river, which is a minuscule part of the overall population in the lake. And they're taking these eggs to the hatchery where they're mixed, you know, with sauger from the Ohio River to create this hybrid sauguy. And that's a fish that's been stocked in a lot of our upland reservoirs, certainly the reservoirs in Finley, the reservoirs in Fostoria, tremendous sauguy fisheries. And it's a fish that does very well in the turbid water in those reservoirs, a place where walleye would not do as well and a place where sauger would not do as well. It's taken the best attributes of both of those fish, combined in this hybrid, and that's what they stock and create these, you know, wonderful fisheries in our reservoirs. And, you know, the concerns were that, well, we're taking these eggs out of the river so the walleye aren't going to reproduce and all. And once you put the numbers down on the paper, you see that, you know, we're talking about, they estimate 45 billion walleye eggs in the Maumee River each spring. And, you know, we need to keep in mind that the fish, the walleye that come out of the lake and spawn in the river represent at the highest maybe 10% of the total walleye population in the lake. Most of those Lake Erie walleye will spawn on the reefs out in the lake, so they don't even enter into this formula. So when they're taking, you know, basically 0.1% of the total walleye eggs in the river for this particular stocking program, it doesn't even show up as the tiniest little blip on a radar. It's just such a small number compared to the volume there in the river. So I wanted to lay out the numbers and the science behind it so people would understand this is sound biology that's taking place here. We're taking those eggs and mixing them with, you know, what we get from the sauger from the Ohio River. And the two combine, you know, we come up with sauguy, which is a great hybrid for these inland lakes. No sauguy are ever, you know, put into Lake Erie or any of its tributaries, so there's no mixing of the species or whatever. It's just there's really sound science behind it, and it's not something people need to be concerned about.
Again, Matt Markey joins us here on Drive Time. My name is Mike Miller. The show driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik. Matt joins us on the Vito's Pizza phone line. Ingredients, as always, you can trust. And I love the headline. I don't know if you wrote it, but 364 reasons to wonder about the significance of Earth Day. And I think you made your point here. You know, it's great. There's a day for everything. Believe me, my wife works in the flower industry, so I'm well aware of a lot of those. So believe me, I know what that's all about. But, you know, congratulations on pointing out that your grandfather was an environmentalist long, long time before the word was even, as you put, was even invented. He celebrated it every day on a lot of different levels of his life. So, you know, as much as we jump up and down, it's Earth Day and we have to do this, half of it's politicized and everything else. Thanks for the reminder here that you can, I guess I'll put it simply, you can celebrate Earth Day every day.
Yeah, that was the point I wanted to drive home. And that's what, you know, the reason I wrote the headline that way is that I think too often it's kind of a feel-good exercise that, oh, we're going to really celebrate Earth Day and we're going to, you know, march, or we're going to carry signs, or we're going to do this or do that. And there are some, you know, very, you know, positive and well-intentioned efforts that take place on Earth Day. But I just want to see, you know, that kind of approach taken throughout the year, and we don't necessarily need the fanfare. I think that there's, you know, ways to take care of the earth and the environment around us and the wildlife and so on without, you know, making a big spectacle out of it. And, I've just seen, you know, too many cases where, you know, there was a downside to the Earth Day celebration or the Earth Day, you know, commemoration or whatever, where there was actually a lot of, you know, just trash and so on involved. And the people who were there supposedly to celebrate the Earth, you know, thought nothing of, you know, leaving their trash scattered everywhere. So I think we're much better off when we, you know, avoid the grandstanding and patting each other on the back and telling each other how great we are on one particular day. And then, you know, it's about how we live the other 364. And that goes across the board. It's not just in the way we treat the earth. It's how we take care of our, you know, families. It's how we take care of our pets. It's, you know, just so many different things that, you know, it should be a 365 day practice and not something we, you know, shout about one day and then forget about it.
As always, Mr. Markey, you are preaching to the choir here. I could not agree more. Hey, what do you have on the agenda next week? Of course, Matt Markey's a Toledo Blade outdoor editor. His appearance here every Wednesday is brought to you by Jan's Netcraft. And, of course, his articles, which I started reading before Matt was even on this show, but excuse me, they appear on Tuesday, Friday, and on Sunday. What's on the agenda?
Well, for Friday, I've got a piece that looks at this transition period in the rivers and how, you know, you have an opportunity to catch not just walleye or white bass, but maybe, you know, up to a half dozen different species that'll be in those rivers in the spring, you know, and it's a fairly small window, but it's something to take advantage of on the Maumee, the Sandusky, the Portage, and so on. And then for Sunday, I have my monthly Outdoors magazine page, and we're looking at a couple young filmmakers from the Toledo Zoo who had an opportunity to go with National Geographic to Africa and do some filming of wildlife for a week or so, and then they decided to extend the stay by about a month and just kind of roamed around on their own in a rented vehicle across these vast wilderness areas in Africa and these game reserves and so on, a lot of, you know, Tom Sawyer and Huck Finn adventure in these two young guys, but some great pictures and some great stories. So that'll be Sunday in the Outdoors magazine page.
Good stuff. Great hearing your voice. Thanks for coming on, Matt. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
I'm Matt Markey, a Toledo Blade outdoor editor, brought to you by Jan's Netcraft. He joined us in the Vito's Pizza phone line, ingredients you can trust, special right now. Vito's, how about this? Giant five-topper. $14. All right, everybody, this is Drive Time. Just a couple of notes. It's driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik. That amazing April deal situation continues there. One of my favorites, I got to tell you, 2017 Jeep Compass Latitude High Altitude, $138 a month. Toledo's ESPN 106.5 The Ticket and Buck Brothers has a chance for you to win a new driveway for your home with the ugliest driveway contest. Head over to 106.5theticket.com, upload a picture of your ugly driveway. Contest ends on May the 14th at midnight from Buck Brothers and Toledo Sports Leader, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Also, another note here, don't forget Menards 200s coming up on May the 21st, 76th running. Discounted tickets available at all Menards. And something else, everybody's read and talked and heard about the opiate epidemic. I mean, it is a serious, serious, serious situation. The Monroe Multisports Complex is having a hockey game and a fundraiser on Saturday, April the 29th, hockey against heroin. Call Major Jeff Kemp at 734-240-7730. Thanks to Kyle Rowland tonight who joined us, and Matt Markey. Back to close it out after this. This is Drive Time, and it's driven Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik. Frank Gargano's our producer. Back in.
Quit banging your head on the steering wheel and turn up the dial. It's Drive Time on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody. Drive Time presented by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik. Visit MonroeSuperstore.com. Callers, talk to us on the Vito's Pizza phone line. Gargano, first-round draft choice, by the way, was our producer, our engineer. Stick around, everybody. Face Off, the hockey show right around the corner. Our guest tonight, Aaron Portsline, National Hockey League columnist. Round two of the NHL gets underway tonight with Nashville in St. Louis to take on the Blues. Edmonton and Anaheim tomorrow night. The Rangers in Pittsburgh, Ottawa taking on Washington tomorrow. Jeff Ward, goaltender, Toledo Walleye, played last night. And at the Deciding Game 7, will join us on Face Off, the hockey show, year number 19. Right around the corner. Stick around, everybody. Mike Miller coming to you from the Loft Restaurant here at Sylvania Tam-O-Shanter.